Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Great to have you in today. I should button my shirt. I look a little sloppy today. I apologize for that. I was out on a boat this weekend and playing with dolphins this weekend.
It's summertime, you know? With the glow going on.
Got my vegan wife to go to a hamburger restaurant for lunch one day. That's always a struggle.
Did she get the Impossible Burger?
Well, she always figures it out. Yeah, she should. She's a gamer. She figures
but
it
she's
out.
But like, she's vegetarian, right? Not vegan.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. It feels vegan-y to me, but she will have an occasional piece of fish.
Yeah.
You have to be a team player on this stuff. Right? If it's up to me, I'm at a burger joint every day.
You know, burgers have really skyrocketed on my hierarchy of food items lately.
There's two things in the world I'll never give up. Coffee in the morning and burgers. Everything else is debatable. Everything else you could pull away from me and I'd be like, oh, darn it, and I'd get over it.
Yeah, wine's going to be a tough one for me.
All right, yeah, vodka, throw that one in too.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I don't have any like particulars about eating meat. So I eat red meat, I eat chicken, I eat duck, I eat pork.
Can't do duck, all right. Seen too many walk by me.
Rabbit.
Ooh, can't do that either.
Lemon pepper rabbit.
Well, bunny walking past me, can't do that either. Mm. All right, that's life. Okay, so I, by the way, now all the teams report today, right? So I just thought today was a good day. I'll do it quickly. I'm just going to give you Aaron Rodgers' return to Green Bay. Somebody that knows him well, Mike Silver, NFL Network around the corner. So I'm just going to give you this morning, we had a Cam Akers injury. We've had drama. So this is my first day of camp, top 10 in the NFL right here. Okay? You want to go? Let's go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams, right, according to college. Number 10.
The 49ers. They returned 19 of 22 starters. They were the most injured team in the NFL last year. They cannot face this onslaught of injuries again. I can't put him higher because I do believe at some point Trey Lance will be asked to start. He's played one football game in 2 years. But this is a Super Bowl roster. Coach, staff, O-line, D-line, playmakers, if Garoppolo is healthy.
Number 9.
Rams, I downgrade him a little bit. I think the Cam Akers injury is more serious than anybody in the media is acknowledging. They lost Malcolm Brown, their power back, to the Dolphins, and now Cam Akers. They don't have a number one back. Forget depth. They don't have a number one back. And Sean McVay's offense is built on the power running game. I've got them 9.
Number 8.
The Colts, who I like a lot, but they are the only AFC playoff team with a new quarterback, Carson Wentz. Their offensive line is really, really strong. Top 3 in the league. I'd say number 2 right now or number 1. And they added Eric Fisher to an already great O-line. Also, Jonathan Taylor became a star at running back late last year after Thanksgiving. They're going to be a power running team that will allow Carson Wentz to slowly ease himself back in. Number 8.
Number 7.
I think the Chargers here are really special. Brandon Staley's a rookie coach, and they are rebuilding the O-line. 4 new starters. By the way, 3 of them are really, really good.
Number 6.
The Browns. Now, again, you get into the top 5 and 6. This is all inches. They return all 11 starters on offense. A little concerned about defense. They return only 4 starters, brand new secondary. I didn't like losing Sheldon Richardson. He was a little bit of a cap casualty. I think Jadeveon Clowney's a highlight player. Sheldon Richardson gets no highlights, but is a better player. I'm a little worried about the back end of their defense and the loss of Sheldon Richardson.
Number 5.
And again, coin flip. The Ravens, to me, got a little better at their weakest spot, wide receiver. return 10 of their 11 defensive starters. Better defense than Cleveland. Now, can they get better throwing the ball down the field? Well, in the draft and free agency, they attacked their anemic wide receiving core. So I think Cleveland and Baltimore, it is a coin flip. I have them at 5.
Number 4.
The Seattle Seahawks. They addressed their tight end position. They went and got Gerald Everett from the Rams. They addressed their offensive line position. Gabe Jackson, who probably has only 1 or 2 years left. He's not great, but he's an upgrade. They have a new offensive coordinator. But I do believe they've got a lot of new pieces. If they can be healthy, they've got stars at wide receiver, quarterback, linebacker, safety, edge rusher. This is a star-studded Rams-like team.
Number 3.
Buffalo may very well win the Super Bowl. 21 of 22 starters from last year. They added another good receiver to Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders. They have upgraded their defensive line, which was a weakness. I like their secondary. They just can't guard guys all day. Buffalo at 3.
Number 2.
Kansas City returns only one of their 5 starting offensive linemen. So it's a rebuild on the O-line. I love everybody they got, but it's a rebuild. What does that tell me? Offensive lines, they're not going to be tight until Thanksgiving, but they're a Super Bowl favorite in Vegas, which I don't disagree with.
Number 1.
Tampa. What do you want me to say? They return everybody. All the coaches, all the players. I don't think they're going 17-0. I think that's nonsense and ridiculous. But Tom, you know, this is not a team that's going to take a precipitous dip. That's just not Brady's DNA. Brady wakes up and yells at people to brush their teeth. Like, he's too willful, too aspirational. He's got a Michael Jordan thing here where there's almost a guilt in the locker room if you don't put the effort in, Tom does. So even if they're a little flat early, they'll be ready to go during the playoffs. That's my top 10. Don't have the Packers in right now because there's just too much drama. I worry about their schedule and David Bakhtiari's health. Cole Linsley's gone to center. I don't know how good their offensive line is. I went and checked. It was yesterday. This is the lowest graded offensive line for the Packers in some time. 6 of the 8 best sack teams, they face them in October or early November. With that, Mike Silver, great reporter, NFL Network, now joining me live and covering this league for a long time. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Silver. Okay, so we see, you know, you're a California guy. You see Aaron Rodgers in his flip-flops. He looked like he just came out of some cafe in Paris. And my takeaway, Mike, is you know the Warriors well. When we kind of felt it was KD's last year, everybody kept saying, it's no big deal, kumbaya. And then after the season, we hear all this. Kerr was walking on eggshells, the GM, Bob Myers, Draymond Green. Isn't Mike, there going to be some walking on eggshells here for the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think so. But remember, that Warrior team, Colin, despite KD tearing the Achilles, still fought their way into game 6 of the NBA Finals. And had Klay Thompson not gone down, who knows? So it's possible to succeed amid turmoil. And my threshold is very high. I covered the 49ers when I broke in. Joe Montana and Steve Young, two future first ballot Hall of Famers, coexisted for 6 years. And if I shared 1/20th of what I witnessed during some of those years into the Twitter 2021 reality, people would freak. And yeah, there was turmoil. It wasn't always, harmonious, but, they still managed to do a whole lot of winning.
You know, Mike, it's interesting. The last time Matt LaFleur was coaching Aaron Rodgers, he took the ball out of his hands, and Matt is still a puppy. I wonder, does any of that linger? Do you think Aaron has any doubts about his coach?
No, I think Aaron and the coaches are aligned. It is a bizarre organization, though, because with no actual owner and with a structure that essentially has for years basically said, hey, front office, you pick the players and coaches show up and coach who we give you and we got this. We might not even keep you in the loop. So I've gone to great lengths to explain the last few months that Matt LaFleur and the coaches are not the ones who have created this state of affairs and that Aaron doesn't blame them as such. But let's be honest about this. you know, Matt LaFleur's gone 13-3 in each of his regular seasons. He's gone to two NFC championship games. There are a lot of coaches around the league who don't necessarily have personnel power, who haven't accomplished that, who would have probably turned over someone's desk by now and made enough of a stand that it wouldn't have got to this point. So you said Matt LaFleur is still a puppy. Love the guy. He's done an incredible job, but he may want to channel his old friends Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay here, because neither one of them would have put up with it this long. Kyle does have the power, so it's not a fair comparison, but Sean maybe nominally does not. Someone's desk would have been turned over, if not literally, then figuratively.
So what are your expectations? And I said, I think this is a 10-7 team that wins its division. I think the schedule is a real gauntlet of, I mean, it's Bears, Steelers, Niners, Washington. Mike, it's like the best pass rushes in the league. And we got David Bakhtiari. He's not going to play until he's 100%. They had a Pro Bowl center. I do think it gets a little messy in October for them. That's my take. It's a playoff team. They win their division, but it's ugly and there's some snippiness. Your thoughts on what we'll see?
They're like a bunch of teams in the NFC where I think you better start fast, because if the wheel starts to come off, it could get really ugly. And that's not just Green Bay. That's Seattle after the Russell Wilson drama over the offseason and him basically wanting to get out. And that, to me, is the Cardinals, who there wasn't a whole lot of harmony when things ended last year. And I know on the outside we look and go, wow, they made some strides. There's a lot of pressure on that team. So I think there are a few teams where it would really behoove you not to go into a slide, because it could get really ugly really fast. That said, presuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I think they'll function at a very, very high level in that offense. And so, yeah, the question remains, you know, the line, the defense. And, you know, my chief complaint about the Packers this past offseason and most offseasons over the last few decades is the same as Aaron Rodgers. They didn't go all in. They didn't load up. They didn't seize this window, which may only be a one-year window now. But, you know, you only get one Aaron Rodgers. By the grace of the football gods, you've had 30 years of first ballot Hall of Famers uninterrupted. It's never happened. The only other time was Montana Young, and that wasn't close to 30 years. And you've won two Super Bowls. In my opinion, you know, presuming that it's just going to keep right on rolling with the third guy, with Jordan Love, even if he turns out to be good, is crazy. I just don't understand the lack of aggressiveness.
I got to ask you one Bay Area question, because you find yourself residing there for a long time and you're a Cal guy, so you're all well connected and stuff. And I lean on Mike Silver often for this stuff. I said before, the enigma in the league is San Francisco. I like both lines. I love their coach. I like their playmakers. I've got no complaints, but history tells me Jimmy G does not get through a season. And therefore Trey Lance, who's 20 and started one football game in 2 years, will be given the reins. I'm hedging my bet. I'm like, it's a 9-10 win team, third place. I don't know. What is your gut on them? And are you concerned about the whole, I don't think Garoppolo's walking on eggshells. I think he's going to crush it if he's healthy. But do you think San Francisco thinks to themselves, we may be starting a 20-year-old by week three?
I think they're going to the Super Bowl. And I think, I said that even before they made the trade for Lance, but everything I've heard since then, has fortified that belief. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm told this spring, looked like a different guy, the best he's been by far since he's been there. Seeing things better, definitely has the temperament to handle this situation. And so, yeah, the health is obviously the issue, but Jimmy Garoppolo so far has blown them away with the way he's reacted. And yeah, ideally, because Trey Lance has, you know, not played much, you would sit him for the year. Obviously, you can do some things with him athletically. He's very, very smart. In a draft full of smart quarterbacks, he may be the smartest one. And so he's going to have a chance to really, really learn this offense and be great. I think the scariest thing for other teams is Garoppolo's healthy, he's playing well, but there's a Trey Lance package that Kyle Shanahan and offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel are throwing at teams in key situations that they have to prepare for, and they have to deal with the athleticism. And it's not quite Taysom Hill, because I don't think you'll see him running routes, but it's absolutely a daunting prospect in the moment because of his skills. So that's the dream. I do believe last year was the anomaly with the injuries. Bosa coming back, Kittle being healthy. Warner getting signed. I think they really have a chance to be really, really good.
Good stuff, Mike Silver, NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. I do, full of great information. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, Colin. I appreciate you.
That guy's got a lot of connections. A lot. In fact, I go to lunch with him every time he's in Los Angeles, and I just bring a notebook. Thanks, Mike, for all your sourcing. I really appreciate it. We got good stuff today. We'll give you updates as we go. If there's anything in the Olympics that happens, I got to find the name of that HBO documentary with Michael Phelps. Joy is Weight of Gold. Weight of Gold.
What a great name considering today's news.
I just watched it a month ago. You'll watch that and it'll put everything into perspective what these athletes face. And this is for Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympian almost by far of any we've had. And he retired twice. So Simone Bowles, you just got to understand what these people are going through. These kids, these are kids. She's 24. I got a daughter who's going to be 21.
Yeah, I seem to remember Michael's Jordan retiring.
Yeah.
Pretty popular also.
It was like there was his father had passed away.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pressure on Michael.
Mental health like gets put into this category of like it's like
weakness.
Weakness, or it's, you know, it's like it's elitism or something, and it's like, I mean, in your daily life, do you not face stress and circumstances that make what you do more difficult?
I have, by most standards, a cushy life, and I am battling me all the time.
There's a lot of, you know, social pressures that come with taking care of what you deal with mentally and stigmas and things like that. But that's why I think it's important, especially because sports is considered such a, you know, hardcore
you can
push
get
through. No excuses.
You know, predictably, I went to my Twitter, read about five of them. Weakness. That is just Michael Phelps could have. Michael Phelps talked about depression.
Well, also, I'm sure that's coming from somebody who has their full name and
16 numbers,
employments, and where they live on it.
Yeah, they're a tough
like
guy.
Claiming who they are. Probably have like a cartoon picture and a fake name.
Or they're in their bathroom.
Yeah.
That's a gem.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on FS1, it's a big MLB doubleheader on FS1. First, Matt Olson and the A's take on Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. Then Josh Donaldson and the Twins battle Nolan Arenado and the Cardinals. All the action begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Aaron Rodgers back. We got video flip-flops walking into the facility. I saw that flight, that touchdown last night in the private jet and then the black SUV, and I always love that kind of footage. They tracked him across the country, dropped his girlfriend off in Albuquerque. She's shooting some movie, I believe. And listen, Aaron and Russell Wilson both got what they wanted. They just did it differently. So Tom Brady walks into the NFC 5 months later holding a trophy and has the support of his team. He has weapons. He had a say in building it. And it didn't sit well. In fact, there's a story well documented that Russell Wilson watched the Super Bowl live and was seething watching it. How much protection he had, the weapons he had. But the difference was Aaron was a little more manipulative and petty. And not to say that Russell didn't have his own form of manipulation, but let's go back and look at how both got what they wanted. Aaron Rodgers used his media surrogates, his buddies, to drop a bomb on the day of the draft to disrupt the Packers. And by the way, did not announce it before the draft or free agency. It was the day of the draft. We've already got the players on the board. Russell Wilson did not. Russell Wilson said quite sternly, I want to stay in Seattle, but I'm not happy, and we need to make some changes with play calling and personnel. He then announced it with the Seahawks having time in free agency and the draft to get things done. And then when they did, he came out 2 weeks later. We talked about this last week. Totally supportive of the moves. There's a difference. I'm a dad. If you come up to me as one of my kids and you got a problem, but you give me time to solve it, I'm going to be in a different mood than if in the middle of a road trip, you tell me you want to go home to finish a final that you haven't studied for. Aaron gave his team no heads up, announced it on draft day through his media buddies, blows up the draft weekend. Russell's like, hey, I want to stay here. One of these two divided the fan base. The other had full support from the fan base. That sums it up. They both got what they wanted, but true, I believe, to their real authentic personalities, they did it differently. The Herd brought to you by M-Drive, boost and burn, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. M-Drive, boost and burn. Go to mdriveformen.com. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
All right, training camps are starting. That means the holdout conversations and watching to see who shows up has begun. All-pro pass rusher Chandler Jones reportedly requested a trade from the Cardinals this offseason. He's been unhappy with his contract and missed offseason work as a result. However, Arizona does not want to trade him and expects him to be at training camp. He's entering the final year of his deal and will be a free agent in 2022. He's 31 years old. He's entering the last year, the final year of a five-year, $82.5 million contract.
He's very good.
His $15.5 million salary this season is not fully guaranteed. He had 98 sacks since entering the NFL in 2012. That's the most over that span. But he did miss 11 games last season with torn biceps.
Well, he's productive and he's marketable. I mean, there's no question. At the trading deadline, if you're a good football team that is just lacking an edge rusher, Chandler Jones is going to have suitors.
Well, of course. That's why Arizona doesn't want to trade him.
Yeah. So he's a guy that, keep your eye on this. There's four positions in football now where you got to be special. The belief is quarterback, left tackle, wide receiver, and edge rusher. You do not have to have a great secondary. That's what happened to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They didn't have their left tackle. It just discombobulated Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So he is a top 7-8 edge rusher in this league. You know, Khalil Mack, Joey and Nick Bosa. There's not a lot of great ones. That's why when Seattle went and got Carlos Dunlap, we were like, there's just not many Carlos Dunlaps in the NFL.
And teams don't want to let them go. You're usually under contract. That's why this is really an interesting situation for Arizona, because they do not want to trade him. But he is going to be a free agent next year. So if they can't figure out a contract situation, then he is likely not going to be there next year and may make things difficult on them this year and force a trade. So Packers receiver Devontae Adams reportedly broke off contract negotiations last week when the Aaron Rodgers situation kind of spiced up a little bit. It was still in the air. Now Aaron is at training camp and Adams is open to resuming discussions about a new contract with the team. I think that this actually played a role in Aaron Rodgers getting that deal that he's agreed on with the Green Bay Packers.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, Devontae and him are obviously very close. Devontae saying, hey, I'm not interested in discussing a future with the Green Bay Packers at this time if I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Aaron Rodgers may have communicated with them, I'm not going to be here at all unless I get some sort of agreements before I come back. Like, they were lockstep in this last week, and now we have Aaron Rodgers at training camp, and Devontae is now talking with them again.
Yeah.
How are those things not correlating? Like, how are they not tied together? To me, it's obvious that that's what happened.
I think his decision's fascinating. Devontae knows how good Jordan Love is, and it really comes down to that. Because if Devontae knows deep down Aaron's one and done. It's pretty obvious.
I think that's what that Last Dance post was all about.
So if Devontae's willing to sign a long contract, it's a good news for the Packer fans, not only because it signs with Green Bay, but because he's telling you, I think Jordan can play. Because no way Davante Adams is signing up for 3 years of nonsense with a whiff at quarterback.
Well, if he signs this year, he's going to have 1 year of Aaron Rodgers, right? If they get this contract done before this year is over. So at least one of the years of this new contract will be that. But I also think, I don't know that his, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with money being your motivation, right? Yeah. Your top motivation.
It obviously, for sales
you are still motivated by football, or you wouldn't be as great as you are if you're Davante Adams. When people are like, oh, like, well, he's motivated by money, like that's all he cares about. Like, yeah, but he has to play amazing to be able to make that money. Listen, so it can't be all they care about.
On radio, we're simulcast on radio. A big chunk of our audience are salespeople. They don't love lug nuts. They don't love ads. They love what the ads or lug nuts sold provide them, a Mercedes.
Right.
So let's not pretend that lots of Americans are not doing their job because it pays well.
Mostly everyone is motivated by money. You need money to do things. So, yeah. Like, that's not
I saw dolphins this weekend. That didn't come for free. I had to go
a lot of dolphins.
I saw 100 dolphins that cost $200 to rent a boat.
Yes, I can't tell yet. I need to see Jordan Love.
So do I.
And
a piece of video. It's like Bigfoot. Can
and
you give
I
me
wouldn't
more?
Blame Davante taking advantage of his position in the NFL right now and getting all the money he rightly deserves
sure.
in this new contract, even if Jordan Love isn't. Because even if Jordan Love is good, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, no matter what.
Well, if he's good, I'd stay.
If he's good, but even if he is good, which is good for Packers fans, he's not going to be as great as Aaron Rodgers
yeah.
right away. So there's going to be a drop-off no matter what.
Right.
Even if he is the starter, it's still going to be a drop-off
but
from Aaron Rodgers. He's
the
MVP of the league.
I can live with that knowing we pay him nothing and we can go get a second
right.
receiver and an edge rusher. I mean, the good thing when Aaron leaves, the one thing about these star quarterbacks, you can go get three more players.
If Jordan Love can play.
You're right.
So DeMar DeRozan is on the free agent market and he's making it clear he wants a real chance at winning a title. And Shannon Sharp asked him on Club Shay Shay what it would mean to play for his hometown Lakers.
You can't ask no kid if they want to play home, they'll say no. You know what I mean? At some point, you definitely want to have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they want you, why not?
Right.
Why not?
Right.
You know, it's a great opportunity. At this point, you know, you got to weigh out the opportunity of winning a championship
right.
kind of more. You
right.
know? Especially with the career I had, I've been fortunate. The make a lot
make
of money,
good money. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at this point, you know, your ultimate goal is always to compete for a championship.
It's very big. That's very big considering the Lakers have no money. If he's willing to take a serious pay cut, which he would have to do.
And they're going to bring back AD, LeBron, and Alex Caruso. Outside of that, I don't know who they're bringing back, but
well,
they
don't have a lot of players under contract.
They don't, but I think they could engineer a trade for this because I'll just tell you what I believe and what I've been told. Dennis Schroeder is not coming back. He's not.
Well,
so
for
they're
the amount
have
of money that he makes, and it doesn't seem like he's meshing in the locker room very well. It doesn't seem like it's a good fit. I would love DeMar DeRozan to the Lakers.
Yeah.
But can they make it fit with the money? Because they are really strapped. They could offer him the non-taxpayer mid-level exception of $9.5 million, and then they'd be hard-capped for the remainder of the season. And he would have to take a pay cut because I believe he made $27.7 million last yeah. season. So it would be a significant pay cut for DeMar.
Yeah.
But as he just said, now it comes down to you're saying that. But when you start looking at the numbers, how much are you really willing to
right.
cut?
Right.
But you know, there's other ways to make that money up when you live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So there's ways to make all of this work. I do think he would be a great addition to the Lakers,
oh,
but
God, yeah. oh,
they are
God.
Just, they're really in a bad situation with the cap.
Yeah. Best case scenario, because he'd be the best third player, arguably, in the league. He's a 20-point-a-game guy. So
yeah.
he
averaged 21.6
yeah.
points, 4.2 rebounds, and 6.9 assists per game last season with the Spurs.
Yep. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
We
news.
Will go and discuss near Lambeau, the Packer situation this morning, among other things.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Escape QuickBooks, quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, one-of-a-kind financing. Give the quick boot to QuickBooks. Go to netsuite.com/heard right now. He is a founder and writer of GoLongTD.com. GoLongTD.com covered the Bills, covered the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the NFL for over a decade. We want to bring in Tyler Dunn. We've brought him on several times. So, you know, I said this, when the Warriors, that last year with KD, there was a lot of rumors. He was unhappy. And the Warriors said, oh, it's all good. It's just fine. And then when it was all said and done, we found out that he and Draymond hated each other, and Kyrie and KD at the All-Star game were talking in the hallway, and the GM was upset, and Steve Kerr was walking on eggshells. And I said this morning, it's got to be a little tense, right? Like, who addresses this in the locker room, right?
You know, I think in the locker room, Colin, things will be okay. I've talked to players on the Packers. This stuff is kind of annoying. I think one guy told me it was a little irritating over the weekend. But at the end of the day, like, the teammates, they love Aaron Rodgers because he's one of, if not the best quarterback in the league. He loves them, at least face-to-face. I mean, it sounds like he wants to bring in some of his buddies, Randall Cobb. I don't know what that says to Marquez Valdes-Scandling and Amari Rodgers and those guys. But I think the problem here is with management, right? I mean, nothing was solved there. I mean, you can basically pretend this all away. You can pretend that none of this happened for 3-4 months. He made it clear he wanted out of Green Bay. He made it clear he wanted the GM fired. I mean, he never came out and denied that. He never really spoke on this directly at any point. So I don't think anything's resolved there. I think there is bad blood. And Green Bay is willing, in the name of one more last dance-like run at a championship, they're willing to take on that potential toxicity. They're willing to not get a bevy of picks and players for somebody. I mean, that opportunity has passed. So I thought at the end of the day that was something they should have looked into, as a big trade to get as many picks and players as you can for somebody who probably isn't going to be there beyond this season.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like, from my purview, a one and done. Davante Adams, his relationship with Aaron appears to be pretty strong from Instagram, you know, memes and all that stuff that Aaron put out. I look at it and I think to myself, if Davante signed a long contract, it would also tell me, having watched Jordan Love at practice, he feels that he's okay. That's kind of my takeaway, because I joke with Joy here. It's like, I've seen more footage of Bigfoot than I have Jordan Love. I have no idea if he can play at all. What is the sense of how ready Jordan Love is to take this puppy over?
Everything I've heard, Colin, is he, it leaps and bounds better than he looked as a rookie. Look, he wasn't himself as a rookie. He didn't really have a normal rookie season. He's running as the scout team quarterback. He's getting rations as the number three here and there. But, you know, OTAs and minicamp was a good chance for him to run the offense, work with the actual starters. And I had players tell me, hey, this guy is ready, that if Aaron Rodgers wants to take this into training camp, if he wants to take it into the season, they think that they can win with Jordan Love. So I think he's right on track, and he's going to have a chance to play in preseason games. He's going to have a chance to maybe even play in the regular season. So they still like him, big arm, athletic. I know how it looks, right? If he was ready to go, you'd think, all right, Aaron, see ya. You know, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. But I think that they still want to give him one more real rookie season with this full off season, with the full preseason, with his development. So in that sense, you could say that Green Bay won, right? They wanted Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback.
Yep.
I think we shouldn't just ignore what happened these last few months, though. It was passive aggressive to the upteenth degree, really.
The schedule is not easy. I have concerns about left tackle and center. It's the lowest graded Packer O-line in recent years. It's about 16th, 17th in the NFL. I go to Pro Football Focus and other sites. It's kind of in a developmental process. They addressed that in the draft this past year, went O-line. Do you see a doomsday scenario in which things come unraveled with, I mean, this schedule is, you got road games at Baltimore, at San Francisco, at Kansas City, This is a rough slate, Tyler.
It is tough. I'll give you that. I mean, those defensive lines especially. I mean, I love what Washington has going on, especially giving, you know, the money where money is due to Jonathan Allen. That was a news item that kind of went under the radar yesterday. But I do think that this still is a ultra-talented roster that Brian Gutekunst has put together. I mean, he's drafted really well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You have to expect that unit to take a big jump with new coaching as well. And this supporting cast is really, really good around Aaron Rodgers. You know, he might not like it all the time, but he's got receivers everywhere. They've got three legit running backs. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll compete for a Super Bowl. They might win the Super Bowl, and that's the big gamble here. Green Bay is willing to just go for it right now. That opportunity for all those picks and players, it might not be there a year from now, and they basically said, we don't care. We don't care about potential drama, potential toxicity. We don't care about any of that. We have the league MVP. We're going to go for one more run. Let's see what happens. So, hey, Aaron Rodgers loves the drama. It doesn't get much more dramatic than this. It should be quite interesting this season.
By the way, if you polled people in Green Bay on talk shows in the community in which you live, what's the split? For Aaron, tired of Aaron?
Before yesterday, I'd say 60-40 tired, maybe even 70-30. I think that everybody was kind of worn out by this whole charade. I mean, it was one thing after another without him speaking directly. But the thing about fans, Colin, and you know this, I mean, the second that he plays for the Green Bay Packers, they're going to be rooting for Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be team Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be all for it. And Aaron Rodgers is going to stand there and say, hey, that was a bunch of smears. That was a bunch of, you know, fake news. Don't believe everything you read and everything you see. I'm here. I'm the quarterback. He'll kind of pretend this all away. So there'll be now probably, what, 20-30% of those fans that aren't going to forget what happened this offseason, aren't going to forget the tweets and the Instagram posts and the little comments. And for the, I think the majority, they're all on board, at least for this season.
Good stuff. Tyler Dunn, great stuff. Go to golongtd.com. Thanks, Tyler, as always. Great stuff.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate you, man.
Okay, so, you know, and I've said this every year. You know, it's funny about in sports. In college football, there's about three teams every year that I think can win the national championship. In the NBA, there's about four. You know, we predicted Milwaukee would win. It was a different route than we expected, but they won. In the NFL, I always feel like it's always like I get to eight. And then there's about three that I have a question about. So this morning, after everything, my Super Bowl bubble would be Buffalo, Tampa, Kansas City in the middle. That's the strongest. Then I would put the Ravens, the Colts, the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Rams in it, but on the edges. Can't afford a huge injury. Then Green Bay and Cleveland on the outside. Cleveland, how are they going to handle success? We have no history here, no precedent for them handling it well. And Green Bay, a lot of drama, a lot of noise, schedule's brutal, O-line questions, and I just kind of feel like it's a... They'll be fine in a three-game winning streak. What happens when they have a three-game losing streak? Does it unravel? I know Tampa won't. I know Kansas City won't. I know Buffalo won't. I don't know that Green Bay won't. So that's kind of where I sit this morning. And, you know, I have compared this to the Warriors and KD because I think KD and Aaron, we've compared them before. A beautiful, graceful game. I think we could all be honest about KD and sensitive, KD and Aaron, sensitive. Their game is not only great, it's beautiful. It looks effortless. They read their social media more than most. They're a little injury prone. They're getting up there in age. There are some doubters. They've played the number two to the GOAT for about 6 years. Aaron's played number two to Brady for 6 years. Durant's played number two to LeBron for about 6 years. And so the KD Warriors eggshells does feel a little bit like Aaron eggshells here. Their personalities are the same. They're smart guys. They're on social. They're well connected. They could retire today. They're all-time greats. They're Hall of Famers. But they have what they call in the media rabbit ears. They hear everything and they comment on most stuff. And so I think there's going to be moments during the season, a little three-game losing streak where, you know, Aaron can be a little prickly after a three-game winning streak. So it'll be interesting. It's good for our business. It's great for our business.
I think what happened in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady might have changed the league for star quarterbacks forever. Just the way that they've handled him, the input that they've allowed him to have.
Well, when LeBron,
the flexibility.
When LeBron made that announcement,
yeah.
When he went to Miami, we all went, oh, well, we all didn't, but you know, they burned jerseys.
Oh, I loved it, but yeah.
10 years later, we look at Bradley Beal and go, what's wrong with you? How can you stay? That was LeBron's impact. If you don't at least, Damian Lillard, talk about leaving, we're like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
If you don't now as a great quarterback in a bad situation, if you don't do what Matt Stafford and say, I'm out. I mean, don't you think Matt Stafford looked at Brady? Of course. He did. He's like, what am I doing here?
We know Russell Wilson did, and I'm sure Aaron did too.
Navien 15-year limited warranty. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. Spa-like comfort. Only heats hot water when you need it.